My name's Mark Bailey. I'm a preacher out of Central Baptist in Athens, Texas. Mike Gibbs is my pastor. I represent a ministry called Helping Hands Ministries. And this is a local church outreach through Grace Baptist Church in Conway, Arkansas. Eddie Flowers pastors this church. Brother Flowers started this ministry back in 1990. He made a mission trip down to Mexico to visit a couple of his missionaries, and he was appalled at their living conditions, and he said, "I will be back with a load of food for you," and he's not stopped going back since. And by God's graces, we've been able to work together since 1994. That's almost 16 years next month. That's longer than my parents put up with me, brother. I gotta tell you what, God's grace is good, that's for sure. And, my hat's off to this young man over here. got saved 2 weeks ago and willing to stand up and give testimony for the Lord. I remember the first time I stood up and gave testimony, I was scared to death. Knees were knocking. And so, brother, I'm glad for you. Lord's got a job for you to do, that's for sure. Don't ever forget what He's done for you. Amen. Anyway, this ministry is a support ministry and started mainly down in Mexico. We work with the different Bible-believing Baptists, national pastors, and missionaries. And Brother Flowers makes trips down there at least once a month. And one of the main things that we do is we take in supplies that they have need of. We take in Bibles, tracts, literature. Think that's important for churches? Sure it is. We also take in what the Bible calls carnal needs. We take in food, clothes, medical supplies, personal hygiene, building supplies, vehicles, car parts, tables, chairs, pews, take in school material, toiletry items, blankets, linens, any type of needs that you and I have, they've got need of also. While we're down there, we help them get new churches started, help evangelize their communities, hold special meetings for them. November and December is very busy for us with Christmas time, and it's a big part of our ministry. We gather up supplies all year round for that. Anything that we get gathered together that we can give away for Christmas, we hang on to, and then we take it down there to them. We also, are involved in about five orphanage ministries down there. One of them we've started ourselves. We purchased the property, built the building, manned it. We've got about 40 children in it right now. Got a church started down there also where the orphanage is. We've got 6 teenage boys that surrendered to preach. And because of that, Brother Flowers has started a Bible Institute down there. We don't want to bring those Mexicans up here to America to train. We don't want them to get use of nice clothes, of padded pews, air conditioning, heat. We don't want them to get use of 3 square meals a day, 4 or 5. We don't want them to get use of adult toys. We don't want them to graduate from Bible college and then have about 100 pastors trying to entice them to come to their area to reach the Mexicans in their area. We want them to stay Mexican. We want them to stay put to reach their own people. So what we're doing is going down there and training them. Right now, Brother Flowers is paying the rent for 3 national pastors for $150 a month. For all 3. Not each, but all 3. And folks, the best way to reach any national is through their own people. And that's what we're trying to do down there. We have a medical team that we take down there at times and hold medical clinics with. We like to build things for them, build buildings, churches. Anything that we can do to be a help and a blessing to them, we go ahead and do it. We do the same type of ministry all over the states on Indian reservations, up in Canada with some Indian churches, boys' homes, girls' homes, youth camps, new churches getting started, struggling churches, just wherever we can be a help and a blessing to, we go ahead and do it. Last month we had about 6 different churches call us for supplies. Everything from pews, chairs, cars, tents, piano, And so, you know, we've been in it long enough now, and churches are aware of what we're doing, that they're calling us, and we like that. We try to go ahead and do whatever we can. Probably about three, four years ago, one of the members of this church came up with a couple of wood-burning heaters for us. And we was able to take them over to the Navajos on the reservation for them. And that was a big help for them. I stand amazed, I shouldn't, but I stand amazed at the times that churches come up with things for me. And I give Brother Flowers a call and ask him if he's got a need for it somewhere. And he'll tell me that he's been praying for months for it. I'm just amazed at how God works through His children. So I'm in this ministry full-time, on the road like tonight, presenting the ministry, going back to churches, picking up supplies. I make deliveries all over the states. And Lord willing, this is what I'm going to be doing until I die or He comes back for us. One of the two. I hope He comes back soon. That would tickle me to death. But until then, we've got to be faithful in what He's called us to do. I'm kind of old school, though. I believe if a church is going to get involved in a ministry, you better make sure it's a biblical ministry. Don't you? Because you're stewards of God's money. And you need to make sure that you don't go invest in God's money in things that's not of God. And that goes on today, unfortunately. There's a lot of con artists going around, a lot of people ripping churches off and giving sad stories, and we need to be good stewards of what God's given to us. So tonight, we're going to go through a bunch of scriptures, and I'm going to show you that what we're doing is a biblical ministry, because I don't want you to have any doubt that what we're doing is biblical, because after tonight, I can, whether you support us or not, I hope you do, but even if you don't, I'm still going to be giving your pastor a call and saying, hey, I'm going to be coming through your neck of the woods. Would your folks like to get stuff gathered together for us? Because before we have to give to others, we've got to have given to us first. And I'll be explaining that in a little bit. So turn over to Matthew 28, please. Matthew chapter 28, it's a very familiar verse of text. You know it. Some of you know it by heart. It's called the Great Commission. Go ahead and stand it, I guess. Matthew 28, verse number 18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. You know, we are, why don't you go ahead and sit down, if you don't mind. Thank you. We are real strong. As fundamental Baptists, we are real strong with the Great Commission. That's why you got this mission emphasis month. Your pastor wants you to get more involved in missions, to do more for missions, to keep the missionaries on the field, to go ahead and make disciples. And then after you make disciples, after you get people saved, the Bible says to go ahead and baptize in them in the name of the Father and Son, the Holy Ghost. Only God's churches has got the authority to baptize. This commission was not given to a Bible study. It was not given to a Rotary Club. It was not given to anybody but the local church. This is the job of the local church. But what we fail in sometimes is the third part of the Great Commission. And there in verse number 20 it says, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. God's churches have got a God-given, biblically-based responsibility to teach God's children all things that Jesus Christ taught. Do you see that in there? Okay. Your pastor's trying to do that with y'all. And sometimes that's hard to do. But I want you to go ahead and turn over to Luke chapter 12 and verse number 33. Luke chapter 12. In verse number 33, the Bible says in verse number 33, and this was Jesus teaching His disciples, Jesus says, sell that you have and give alms. Almsgiving is taking care of the poor, the needy, the widows, and the orphans. Sell that you have and give alms. Provide yourselves bags which wax not old, a treasure in the heavens that faileth not, where no thief approacheth, neither moth corrupteth. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. We like to have this type of treasure. But I believe that this type of treasure is conditional. Are we willing to do what Jesus taught His disciples to do to get this type of treasure? What did Jesus teach His disciples to do? Sell that you have and give alms. Did the early church, did the first century Baptist church actually believe and practice this teaching of Jesus Christ? Or was this just something that they ignored? Is this something that this local church needs to practice as a teaching of Jesus Christ? Or is it just something that we can ignore and not have anything to do with? Turn over to Acts chapter 2. Book of Acts in chapter 2. Acts chapter 2 and verse number 41. The Bible says, then they that gladly received His word were baptized. See, they were fulfilling the Great Commission, weren't they? They received His word. They got saved. What did they do after they get saved? They got baptized. And the same day were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Salvation, baptism, church membership. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread, and in prayers. This is what they didn't get burnt out. They didn't quit. They continued steadfastly in this. In verse 44, and all that believed were together, and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men, as every man had need. And they continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God, and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Now, do you think they was practicing the teaching of Christ over in Luke? I believe they were. It talked about breaking bread from house to house daily. I'm going to show you in just a minute what I believe this is talking about. Let's look at Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 2 is when the church was empowered by the Holy Ghost. In Acts chapter 4, we have the exact same church under persecution. And the Bible says there in verse number 31, and when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. Now, folks, I believe in the filling of the Holy Ghost. We need the filling of the Holy Ghost. The filling of the Holy Ghost is just as much for today as it was in the first century. Okay? We need it. But I also believe that there's going to be some biblical characteristics of being filled with the Spirit of God. And the things that we see today in churches under the disguise of being filled with the Spirit, you cannot find scriptures for. How are people going to act when they're filled with the Spirit? The Bible tells us, number one, they spake the Word of God with boldness. With boldness. Any of y'all besides me ever afraid to testify for the Lord? To soul win? Knock on doors? To go ahead and confront strangers? That can be a scary situation. But God will give us boldness if we're filled with the Spirit. It goes on and says, and the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Unity. One of the characteristics of being filled with the Spirit in a church is unity, folks. Unity. It goes on and says, neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common. Boy, how many churches do you find like that today? Or is the general attitude, this is mine and you can't have it? Goes on and says in verse number 33, and with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Neither was there any among them that lacked, for as many as were possessors of lands or houses sold them, and brought the prices of the things that were sold, and laid them down at the apostles' feet, and distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. See, folks, when they were filled with the Spirit, in spite of persecution, these were things that they did. They spake the Word of God with boldness. They were in unity. They had the attitude, this is mine, if you need it, you can have it. And they even sold their lands and their houses, brought the money to the apostles' feet, and then distribution was made. The Bible says, unto every man according as he had need. The early church took care of their own. Now, y'all may not like this, but the fact of the matter is, it is not the job of the United States government to take care of people. We moan and complain about how they do it. But folks, if God's churches would do what they're supposed to be doing, maybe the government wouldn't have to do it. Do you know that? You think, well, we can't do that. We can't afford to do that. You'd be surprised what you can afford to do when you do things for God. Because this is one of the things about Faith Promise Missions, is you're going to find out that God's going to be faithful to His promises. And when you step out on faith and practice them, He's going to meet your needs. When people in this church are hurting, they shouldn't have to go to Uncle Sam for help. They should be able to come to Open Door Baptist Church and get the help that they need. Let's look at the same church with sin in the camp. Acts chapter 6. And in those days when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. See, folks, the Jews, man, they were prejudiced against us Gentiles. And we're nothing but a bunch of dogs to them. They hated us. And then all of a sudden, Jesus comes around, starts His church, wants us to be together. And we find that in this church, that the Gentile widow women were being shortchanged in the daily ministration. Now, the early church was taking care of the widow women, especially the Jewish widow women. Now, where do you think they got that idea from? How about from back there in Luke, in chapter 12? Amen? Right? But because of the sin of prejudice, the Gentile widow women were being shortchanged. And by the way, folks, me, this is what the breaking of bread from house to house is all about. Eating their meat with gladness and house to house breaking the bread. It goes on, verse number 2. Then the 12 called a multitude of the disciples unto them and said, it is not reason that we should leave the Word of God and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you, 7 men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business, but we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the Word. I believe that this is where the first deacons come in at. Don't know what your pastor practices or teaches on this. I believe this is where the first deacons came from. And folks, if we're going to have biblical deacons, I know you've got deacons in this church, don't you? Better make sure they're biblical. Number one, and no offense to any of you ladies, but you can't be a deacon if you're a female. You got to be a man. Look ye out among you 7 men. 7 men. Not female, but men. I realize you females could probably do a better job, but you just can't do it. It goes on and says, of honest report. You never elect a man to the office of a deacon because he's your kinfolk, because he gives the most money, because he looks good, or he's eloquent in talk. Make sure he meets the biblical responsibilities. He's got to have an honest report. How honest is that man? How honest are your deacons? I don't mean in the church. I mean outside these church doors. What type of reputation do the deacons have in the eyes of the public? It says, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom. Folks, the only way you can ever know if a man is honest and full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom is to watch him. Not for a week or a month, but for a period of time. Is he consistent? And then it goes ahead and says, whom we may appoint over this business. It's the job of the pastor to tell the deacons what to do. You deacons don't have the job of deacons to tell the preacher what to do. It's not your job to tell them what to preach, what not to preach, to fault find them, nitpick them, tell them what he can do and what he can't do. That's not your job, man. That's why God gave him a wife. She can do a whole lot better job than you deacons can. The job of the deacons is to wait on the tables. Okay? That's it right there. Let's look over at Acts chapter 11. Acts chapter 11. In verse number 26. The Bible says, and when he had found him, he brought him into Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people. And the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. Now, we know that this was a derogatory name, Christians. But Christian still means Christ-like. These people had to act like Christ. So, common sense would tell us that if they were called Christians first in Antioch, they ought to have some Christian characteristics. So, what was this church at Antioch doing? It says in verse number 27, and in those days, and in these days came prophets from Jerusalem into Antioch, and there stood up one of them named Agabus, and signified by the Spirit that there should be great dearth throughout all the world, which came to pass in the days of Claudius Caesar. Dearth, folks, was famine. Hard times was knocking at the door. So what did the church do? They knew they was going to go through hard times. They go ahead and cut the pastor's salary in half, make him get a part-time job, cut off all missionary support, get a sinking fund started. No. The Bible says, then the disciples, every man, not just some of them, but every man, according to his ability, determined to send relief unto the brethren which dwelt in Judea. They made up their mind. Those Christians at Antioch made up their mind to send help to those other Christians throughout Judea that was going through famine. They themselves was going to go through famine. But I believe because they was Christian, they wanted to help others. And one of the things I like about it is every man gave according to his ability. God does not want you to serve Him according to the ability of somebody else. I believe God gives each person gifts and talents. And God wants you to serve Him with the gifts and talents that He has entrusted you with. And if you're doing what God wants you to do with the gifts and talents that He's given you, then what more can you do for Him? How much more is someone else important to God than you are? If you're doing exactly what God wants, and they're doing exactly what God wants, who's the more important? Neither of them. Neither of them. Folks, quit trying to serve God like others do. Find out what God wants you to do. You do what God wants you to do, and you are just as important in the sight of God as the next person is. You don't need to sing like someone else. You don't need to play the piano like somebody else. You don't need to preach like somebody else. Be what God wants you to do. And God will bless you for it. And they sent relief unto the brethren which dwelt in Judea, which also they did. Man, I like that. I like it when people make up their mind to do something, and then they do what they say they're going to do. And sent it to the elders. Elders. That's the pastors. How did they send it to the elders? By the hands of Barabbas and Saul. Who is Barabbas and Saul? How many of y'all was listening this morning in the message? Preacher made a statement He said that Paul, the Apostle Paul, was a missionary out of what church? The church, preacher. Antioch. Right? Antioch. Right here. See, the church at Antioch sent relief into the other churches by the hands of missionaries. They gave. They did what they said they was going to do and sent it by missionaries. Let's look at Romans 15. Romans 15. In verse number 25. The Bible says, "But now I go into Jerusalem to minister unto the saints." So here you have a ministry of the Apostle Paul. "For it hath pleased them of Macedonia and Achaia to make a certain contribution for the poor saints which are at Jerusalem. It hath pleased them verily, and their debtors they are." Y'all understand what a debtor is? A debtor is somebody that owes something to somebody else. If you have purchased a vehicle and were unable to pay cash and you took out a loan for it, then you're a debtor to that loan company. And as a Christian, you need to pay your debts. So it says that they have pleased them verily, and their debtors they are. "For if the Gentiles have been made partakers of their spiritual things..." Now, how can Gentiles ever become partakers of spiritual things? Or in other words, how can us Gentiles ever get saved? Do you realize that's an impossibility? Because the Bible says about us Gentiles in Ephesians chapter 2, in verse 1 and verse number 5, that we are born spiritually dead in trespasses and sins. And something that's dead has no life in it. Last April, a year ago, I had to put down one of my dogs. Hated doing that. Man, he traveled with me for 9 years. Hated put him down. Would have been easier with one of my kids. But, I'm teasing. But you know, the next day I went out there and I said, "Shadow, I'm sorry. Come on, get up, buddy. Come on, get something to eat. I know you're hungry." But all he did was lay there with his tongue out of his mouth. He wouldn't move. He was dead. He had no life in him. No matter what I said, no matter how much I pleaded, no matter how much I poked him, he had no life. He was dead. And that's the way us Gentiles are spiritually. Bible says in John chapter 4 that God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. So how can we who are spiritually dead in trespasses and sins ever worship God in spirit and truth unless the greatest need of all mankind is taken care of, and that is the need of you must be born again? Folks, that's the only way that any of us Gentiles can worship God in spirit and truth, is by being saved. All other worship is a waste of time. All other worship and service is totally unacceptable in His sight. You must be born again. That's the greatest need of all mankind. And this is what makes Helping Hands ministry so different than a lot of other ministries going on out there, is our number one goal and concern is for souls to get saved and churches to get started. Because it doesn't do any good at all to feed the hungry, to clothe the naked, or to heal the sick if we let them die in their sins and go to hell. And that's what most of these organizations are doing today. It says, "For if the Gentiles have been made partakers of their spiritual things, they get saved." Their duty. Boy, there's a four-letter word we don't like to use too often. That's the word duty. Duty, folks, that's your responsibility. That's what's required out of you. That's what's expected out of you. That's what you've got a duty to perform on your job. Okay? If you don't perform your duties on your job, is there a price to pay? Yep, who said yeah? Yep. What's the price? If you don't do what you're supposed to do on the job,
get fired.
Get fired. That's right. You get fired.
Or suspended.
All right. I hope that's not the voice of Anyway, experience. So it says their duty. They get saved. And then it says their duty is also to minister unto them in spiritual things. So your Bible tells you that after you get saved, you've got a God-given duty to minister unto people in spiritual things. Is that correct? Somebody help me. No. Amen. Who says no? No. What does your Bible say, ma'am? Carnal things. Now, wait a minute. You mean to tell me it's not good enough to be a preacher, to be a pastor? It's not good enough to be a missionary and leave your home and your church and go elsewhere to start a work? It's not good enough to drive that bus out there and pick up children and adults to bring them to church, to Sunday school, to hear the gospel? It's not good enough to be a Sunday school teacher, a junior church worker, a soul winner, a prayer warrior? It's not good enough to minister unto people in spiritual things only? It doesn't say that. But sister, if I got to minister unto people in carnal things, that could cost me some extra money. Cost me some time. You sure your Bible says carnal things? Uh-huh. So does mine, folks. So does mine. See, it's not good enough to minister only spiritually unto people. We've got a God-given, biblically-based duty, job, responsibility to minister unto one another in carnal things as well. And I like that. You know why? Because everybody can't be a preacher. Everybody can't teach Sunday school. I couldn't teach Sunday school classes to them little kids. I'd kill them. I don't have the patience with them. My grandson was over at my house last weekend and didn't eat breakfast, and I whooped on him. Yeah, y'all got it made. But he ate his breakfast. I don't have patience with these kids. Some of y'all can't drive that big old bus. Some of y'all can't drive a little bitty bus. But you see, ladies and gentlemen, everybody can minister unto people in carnal things. These little children can do it. These older saints can do it. You know, those older ones, 50 and above. They can do it. This is something that every born-again believer can do as a ministry. It's God's will for our lives. Not for a few, but everybody. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians in chapter 4. In verse number 28. Ephesians 4:28. The Bible says, "Let him that stole steal no more." Now, how many of y'all believe that after you get saved, God does not want you to steal? Lift up your hand. Amen. Good. That's most of us. You know what that means? That means if you got paid this past Friday, then today in the offering plate should have been your tithes and offerings. Right? Because doesn't the Bible teach if we don't give our tithes and offerings that we're a thief and a robber? And you all just raise your hand, "God don't want me to steal." And I know we don't have any hypocrites here tonight. Amen? It goes on and says, "But rather," so instead of stealing, what does God want us to do? The Bible says, "Let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good." Now, how many of y'all are still in agreement with God's Word and you think that instead of stealing, God wants you to hold down a job and work with your hands the thing which is good? You're still in agreement with God's Word. Amen. All right. Good. Now, why does God want us to work instead of steal? Is it so that you ladies can go to the beauty parlor and beautify yourselves? Hey, ain't nothing wrong with that. I've been married to my first wife going on 37 years. 37, I think. Anyway, long time. I still like her looking good. You know that? Is it so that you men can go to these hair transplant places and get that hair put back on top? Is it so that you teenagers can go down there to Best Buy or to Sight and Sound or Walmart or whatever you have here and buy a CD player that you can go ahead and put 25 Christian CDs in at one time, and that way you can have continual good Christian music to listen to all day long? Ladies, springtime's here. You can't wear last year's fashions. You need a new spring wardrobe, don't you? Yeah, you shake your head no, but inside you say, yeah. No, that's not why God wants us to work instead of steal. Men, pay attention. Y'all got a Bass Pro here? Bass Pro, they've got a rifle with a scope. Double the money back guarantee that with that rifle, you'll get your kill this year in deer season. Men, you got to have that rifle. Because you know, as well as some other people in this church, that the past 10 rifles you've bought in the past 10 years have all been defects. Does God want us to work instead of steal, that we can have a life of luxury, that we can accumulate the goods of this world, that we can get a good retirement program set up? Or does God want us to work instead of steal, that He may have to give to him that needeth? Now, y'all was in agreement with the first two-thirds of that verse. How about the last third of that verse? Still Bible believers? Now, let me rephrase that. Are you still Bible practicers? Amen? Right? Let's see. Let's look at Philippians in chapter 2. Philippians in chapter 2. I mentioned this in Sunday school this morning. Philippians chapter 2, verse number 25. The Bible says, "Yet I suppose it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother and companion in labor, and fellow soldier, but your messenger and he that ministered to my wants. For he longed after y'all and was full of heaviness because that he had heard that he had been sick. For indeed he was sick, nigh unto death. But God had mercy on him, and not on him only, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. I sent him therefore the more carefully, that when ye see him again ye may rejoice, and that I may be the less sorrowful. Receive him therefore in the Lord with all gladness, and hold such in reputation, because for the work of Christ he was nigh unto death, not regarding his life to supply your lack of service toward me." Folks, do you know that this is all we know about Epaphroditus? All we know is that he ministered to the wants of Paul. We don't know if he had the biggest camel ministry back in those days. We don't know if he was a preacher. We don't know what type of soul winner he was. All God tells us about Epaphroditus is that he took care of the needs of Paul. In fact, he took care of the needs of Paul so greatly that it nearly cost him his life. He was nigh unto death. Bible says that he didn't regard his life. He wanted to make sure that Paul was taken care of. He worked himself nearly to death. Y'all familiar with that phrase? Some of you older people ought to be. You know, maybe it's been told about you or you've said it about somebody. Boy, that old boy nearly worked himself to death. What does that mean? That he was lazy, sluggard, or a good hard worker? A good hard worker. And that's the way Epaphroditus was, to make sure that Paul's needs were taken care of. And then I can only imagine the conviction of the Holy Ghost upon those believers when he added, "to supply your lack of service towards me." Because you didn't care about my needs. Because you didn't care about me going without. Epaphroditus had to go the second and third mile to meet my needs, and it nearly cost him his life. But he did it. And folks, there in verse number 30, it says, "Because for the work of Christ." For the work of Christ. I believe what Epaphroditus did was the work of Christ, taking care of the needs of Paul. I believe this ministry of Helping Hands Ministries is a work of Christ. taking care of these missionaries, bringing in the needs that these missionaries and pastors and churches have got need of, so that they can stay there on the front lines. Remember, he called them a fellow soldier? So they can stay on the front lines and do battle and do the work that God's called them to do. In 2 Corinthians 11, in verse number 9, the Bible says, "And when I was present with you," this was Paul speaking to the church of Corinth, "and when I was present with you and wanted, I was chargeable to no man, for that which was lacking to me, the brethren which came from Macedonia supplied." Paul uses two words of interest here to me, and those are the words wanted and lacking. We don't know what they were in want of or lacking of. The Bible doesn't say. The Bible doesn't tell us if the church of Corinth could not meet Paul's needs or just did not meet his needs. And shame on y'all if you don't meet the needs of your pastor and his wife. Amen. I don't know what you do for him. It's none of my business. The Bible says, though, he's worthy of double honor. His wife, probably triple honor. Because you only got to put up with him a few hours a week. Not her. She wishes. But the Bible does tell us that the brethren which came from Macedonia supplied. This is exactly what the Helping Hands ministry is all about. We're not from Macedonia. I'm from Athens. Very biblical city. Hey, you won't find Council Bluff in it. In the Bible. You'll find Athens in the Bible. I'm surprised, Pastor, of all the church, or not all the churches, but all the cities around the world that's named after cities in Texas. It just amazes me, you know that? But anyway, folks, before we can ever bring in the supplies to these churches and missionaries, we've got to have given to us first. And that's why I need your help. Yes, we need your prayers. Yes, it'd be good to have financial support. We need it. Very expensive ministry. There's sometimes it's just the ministry itself. Sometimes it's as low as maybe $2,000, $2,200 a month. Sometimes as high as $4,000 a month. Just ministry expenses. We need support. But above all that, we need stuff. We need stuff. We need good stuff. As I mentioned in Sunday school, it doesn't do any good to give us a table saw with a motor burnt up in it. It doesn't do us any good to give us a refrigerator with the compressor out. We're not junk collectors. I don't mind coffee cups with two holes in it. Anything more than two holes, the hole on top and the handle hole. If it's got more holes than that, throw them away, folks. You're not being a blessing to God or God's children by giving trash. If it's no good, throw it away. Amen? I'm being nice, trying to be. Because if you don't throw it away and you give it to me, I'm going to throw it away. Okay? And we need your help. On our display table out there is some brochures about the ministry. There's a list in there of the different things that we need all the time. Basically, anything you need to live, we need to give away. I try to stay away from computers because they change so quickly. And I try to stay away from clothes because, unfortunately, most clothes that's given to us, when you go through them, you've got to throw away a bunch of them because they're not worth giving away. And so I try to stay away from clothes. We've got sources for new clothes anyway, and we got some dry cleaners that give us clothes that people abandon, and we got clothes coming out of our ears. So unless you got some fat boy clothes, okay, we need some fat boy clothes, about 42 waist, 30 length, 2X shirt, Western style, snap, 10 wide shoes. I've got a personal friend that could use stuff like that. Come think of it. It just about is. Yes, sir. And but anything else we can use. If you got questions, And we need all types of non-perishable food items. I was telling the church this morning in Sunday school, we help feed 100 children one meal a day. Right across the border at Eagle Pass, there's a church that has a ministry of feeding kids. 100 kids a day they feed, maybe more now. And before they feed them, they pray over them, sing with them, and preach to them every single day. Then they eat. A third of them are coming to church on a regular basis. And that's what it's all about, getting saved. And another one of our personal ministries that I've got, Brother Flowers allows me the freedom to do whatever I want to do in this work. And one of the things that we do is we work with the Seminole Indians down in Mexico. And there's a tribe down there. They are the lowest class of the people in Mexico. They cannot even get a servant's job. And they live off the land, and that's it. And we've been ministering to them now for a number of years, got a church started with them. And it's just a blessing to be able to go ahead and help them out. A lot of them are coming to know Christ as Savior. We do need a pastor down there for them. But, you know, before we can do anything, we've got to have given to us. Mentioned November, December is very busy for us for Christmas. We take down Christmas gifts to all the children as well as the adults on the Indian reservations down there in Mexico. And literally we take tons of gifts in every single year. And I picked some stuff up that your pastor told me to go through this afternoon that I'm going to be putting aside for Christmas gifts. Just to be, you know, it's you know, we all like to receive gifts, don't we? So, but if you have questions about what we can use, if you think you have something, ask me. I'll be honest with you if we can use it or not. Again, if it's broke, throw it away. Don't give it to us. But we can need, man, we need towels, we need linens, we need bedding, we need, you know, basic medical supplies. We need prescription medicine, all types of diabetic medicine, high blood pressure, stuff like that. No surgical equipment. We, you know, we don't perform surgeries. Okay, we just don't do that. We need all types of building supplies, tools, electrical, manual, battery operated. Don't matter to us, but. Folks, if you have some stuff and you want to put in the ministry, we sure enough could use it. And there's a jug out there on our display table. That jug helps us on our ministry expenses, trip expenses mainly. From here, tomorrow, I'm taking off for Scotts Bluff, Nebraska for next Sunday. And then Sunday night, going down to North Platte. And then from Sunday night, I'm leaving to go to Denver to pick up stuff there. And then back out to Beatrice, Nebraska. So I've got about 2 weeks on the road, and so the jug helps us in these ministry expenses, fuel for my bus and maintenance and things like that. So anything you put in there would be greatly appreciated. And there are some bookmarks out there, nothing fancy, but the Lord's has given me a place, a printer that prints those up free of charge. And so I want to go ahead and distribute them. If you need bookmarkers, feel free to get them. But remember this. The greatest need of all mankind is a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. You must be born again. And if you're here tonight and you don't know Jesus as your Savior, then what we want out of you is for you to get saved. That's our prayer. Because you can give far more than anybody else, but if you're not saved, it's not going to do you any good at all. You're going to die as a sinner and go to hell. And we don't want that. We want you to get saved. We want you to be able to be used by God in a great and mighty way. And the first step is salvation. Any questions about the work? Any questions? All right. Brother, thank you so much.